times as we serve you, walk with you every day. Lord, it's not enough just to come on Wednesday night and to have a good time of fellowship and hear a good song and take care of church business and then listen to a lesson. But Lord, I pray we'll take what we've experienced and learned here tonight, and then for the rest of this week and next week and week after, Lord, we'll live it and we'll show it and use it for your glory. And this I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
And you may be seen. A faith that works through a proper response to the Word of God. First of all, we saw last week how that through obedient living, James tells us in our talk and in our walk, it is so important that when we come to a service or a Bible study or a Sunday school class, and that we don't just hear that, close up our Bibles and close up our lessons and then we don't think about it anymore. James says that's worthless. That makes no difference. That has no impact in the world. When we hear the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, it should affect how we live. It should affect how we talk. It should affect how we interact with one another. And so with that being said, as we talked about last week and the change that should be a part of our lives as Christians, notice in verses 26 and 27, see letter B of our outline, that through a proper response to the Word of God, there should be an obvious evidence. Not just obedient living, but there should be obvious evidence, letter B. Notice that James begins this section of two verses here in verse 26. He said, if any man among you seem to be religious. Now, James has already rebuked those who were just those who were mere listeners by not doing anything. Now James comes and gives us a clarification. What is he really talking about? You know, we could use the term in our culture even today. You could walk out and do a survey of almost any town, city, community, and I'm sure if you walked up and said, do you think you're a religious person? Well, that could mean different things to different people. There are some who think they're religious because they went through a class sometime when they were a kid and they got confirmed in some way, but they've never been to church, never done anything with it since. There's some who think that maybe because they had an experience in a revival meeting, they went forward and signed a card and got dumped in the water, but they've never been back since. They would consider themselves a religious person because of that one time event, but nothing about their lives ever changed. On the other flip side of that, there are those who think they're religious because they keep a list of do's and don'ts. Their religion is a religion of good works. They're moral people, and they're upstanding citizens in the community, and they give to charities, and they help their fellow man, but there's no personal relationship with God. But they would consider themselves religious. So we see that when that word is thrown out, when that definition that could be different things to different people, James understands that even in his day, there was more religions than you could shake a stick at. I mean, Judaism and those Jewish followers of the Mosaic Law, you had in that Roman Empire, that culture, the Greek culture that affected it later on, and there were multiple options of gods and temples and idols and religious activity that could keep anybody busy trying to figure them all out. So it wasn't very different than in our day. You know, whether they believe it or not, there's some people who have a religion and they don't even realize it. It's where they spend their time and their money, their passion, their efforts. And they spend more time thinking and doing about that thing than anything else. That becomes a religion to them if they're not careful. I'm all for having fun. I enjoy hobbies and I enjoy good times and everything else. But you know, whatever it is that you put in front of your relationship with God, that becomes your religion. That's called idolatry. That's an idol. You have to be careful of that. And anything that you'd spend money on that instead of giving to the Lord's work first, that becomes an idol. That's your religion. So in this text, James is saying to us that there should be an obvious evidence the proper response to the Word of God should be obvious evidence in your life in three different ways. And the evidence of being a true Christian should be shown, should be demonstrated. And he gives them to us here in these verses. And I've numbered them to you here in your outline, just three simple things. So how do we know? When you're at work or you're around people and you have a conversation, and how is the evidence that someone is truly that obvious evidence of responding to the Word of God and following Christ? And now, notice number one. He says here that it should involve your conversation. James says, if any man among you seem to be religious, but bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. It's amazing that James, in the very first thing that he says, has to do with our conversation. He didn't say anything about our finances first. He didn't say anything about our activities and our schedules. He didn't say anything about the way we dress or the music we listen to or the teaching or follower of somebody that we subscribe to. None of those things. It was the very first thing, the way you could tell if somebody's genuinely responding to the Word of God and if they're a true believer and true religion is in their life, is by their conversation. It's by their tongue. He says, if this person does not bridleth his tongue. The bridle. I'm not a horse expert. Some of you have ridden horses, I'm sure, more than I have. But that bridle is there for a purpose, to hold that horse in line and to guide, giddy up and roll and, and left and right and all that kind of stuff. I told you I don't have a whole lot of experience except riding quarter horses. After TGY unplugged them out in front, I didn't have any more quarter horses to ride after that. But those are the only horses that I have experience on. But the bridle is there to keep the horse in line. Now listen, there needs to be a bridle on everybody's tongue, because that tongue get out of control.
Oh, yeah.
That speech, that conversation can quickly become one that is not pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to be very careful in not only what we say, but how we say it. That's just like what we mentioned last week in that other part, in that first part here, back in verses 19 through 21. He said that we should be slow to speak and quick to listen. And so we need to be careful in what we say. It is what you say goes a long way in telling a lost world if you're truly a follower of Jesus Christ. They don't have to see your church membership card. They really don't have to see what version of the Bible you carry under your arm when you walk around, or how big it is, or how marked up it is. All they've got to do is just sit there and listen to you talk for just a little while. And boy, they can really peg it down. Is this person for real or not? I think it's one of the dangers of social media. We've got to be careful. We've got to be careful how we handle social media. We got to be careful how we do those things, because to some people that is our speech. We're typing words, we're saying things, and we're having conversations. And things can be taken in the wrong spirit, in the wrong thing, and boy, that does more damage for the cause of Christ than we could ever imagine. And I'm all for, whoever sports team you pull for or whoever it is you vote for, that's fine. But be careful how you say it. Be careful what you say. Be careful how you respond to others. And James says here that the first evidence of a true Christian, one is properly responding to the Word of God, is by his conversation. Once you say something, you can't get it back. You can apologize all day long, but sometimes the damage is already done. So he says that the person that does not bridle his tongue, in other words, if he just lets that tongue just wag and go and talk just as free, that person, he says in verse 26, that means religion is in vain. That word vain means it is useless. Listen, how in the world can you take and expect to share the gospel with a lost person after they've already heard you use foul language and uncolorful conversation and all of those things like you would hear somewhere else, and then you turn around and try to share with them the Lord Jesus Christ. There is just no way to do that. We've got to be careful, because our religion would be useless if we don't bridle our tongue. Notice number two. Not only conversation, but notice our concern. Our concern, he says in verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. So he's going to give us a definition of this. So the first thing here is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. One great evidence of someone who is really following the Lord Jesus Christ, who is properly responding to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit leading and guiding them in their life, is not just their conversation, but notice their concern. They're concerned for others. And he gives us here this list of the fatherless and the widows to visit them in their affliction. Now, why did he put those? What was it that he was saying about the fatherless? That is that's orphan. To those widows, those who have lost their husband. Now, understand first century culture, there were no government programs to help those in those kinds of situations. Many times, the most poor of the community could be the orphans or the widows if they had not been properly prepared for financially before. James is saying that our concern for these groups of people are a concern for those who are the most helpless in society. Those that had the least. Those that were in the most desperate straits. Those that could not repay it back to you. There was no way these folks could repay you back for any kindness or help that you would show to them. James is saying that if you're a true child of God, if you're properly following the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word, then those that are the most helpless around you, when they need the help, you're the ones that show the concern. I mean, our lost world, there's all kinds of programs and handouts and things like that. But to them, that's just all it is. It's a tax write-off. It's a donation. But what about those people who really love the Lord Jesus Christ? To find those people who are the most helpless around us, who couldn't repay back, who would never be able to give it back to you, and yet you reach out and visit them in their affliction. To do something for somebody that most others would neglect. Most others would pass by. You know, I often wonder sometimes when you see the folks standing beside the road at an exit with a cardboard sign. You don't know if it's somebody who's really in need or somebody who's just a scam artist. You really don't know. It's very difficult. You want to help persons who need help. You want to minister to those. And that's the part that James wants us to understand, that we should have a concern for those that are around us who are the most helpless. Yeah, we have those who tried to work the systems and break the systems and get help when they don't need it and take advantage of the good-hearted folks. And we've had that happen here, and most places it happens. But I think what James wants us to be reminded of is that it is our heart concern for those who are the most helpless. That really shows the love of Jesus Christ. To go to those that others would neglect. Well, it's our conversation, it's our concern, but notice the last thing. He said the definition of religion and undefiled before God is to keep himself unspotted from the world, the end of verse 27. That is our conduct. There's our conversation, there's our concern, and now it's our conduct. How do we act? Keeping ourselves unspotted from the world. Nowhere in the Word of God will you ever find where Jesus commanded us to go and look like, act like, smell like, talk like, sound like all of the evil influences of the world just so that we might have a chance to reach them. Nowhere you'll ever find that in the Word of God. Everywhere he says, come out from among them and be separate. Have yourself unspotted from the world. That is, from those influences. And you know, I've never known of anybody sitting there you know, doing the exact same things the lost people are doing, and in their sinfulness and in their lifestyles and participating in all that they're doing, and by doing that thinking, well, I'm going to reach them. I can reach them if I get drunk like they get drunk. I can take drugs like they're taking drugs, and I can be immoral like they're immoral, just so that I could share the gospel with them. I got news for you. You'll not find that in the Word of God. God doesn't use it that way. But what God does use is someone that is willing to say, I'm going to keep myself unspotted from the world. I'm going to keep myself away from those influences. You know, the world has seen all the other stuff. They just really see somebody that's different. They really see somebody who's dedicated. Somebody who's genuine. Somebody who walks the walk, as we said last week. They're tired of seeing the fake and the Sunday-only crowd. They're tired of seeing those that project one thing but live another. No, they've seen all that. What they really want is to know, are they for real? Are they for real? James tells us that the most important thing to understand is that as we follow the Word of God, and if we're going to have a faith that works, then we must, notice he said, to keep yourself unspotted. That means that there is a direct relation for the task of discipleship and the leadership of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit within you. You have to keep yourself unspotted. It just doesn't come naturally. You walk out and walk through the mud, you're going to get dirty. Right? You're just going to get dirty. And if you get dirty in your personal life, it's very difficult to try to show others how that Jesus can make a difference in theirs. Now, that doesn't mean that James is teaching us sinless perfection. No, not at all. That's why he says you got to keep yourself unspotted. There's always temptation. There's always things that will try to divert your mind, your attitude, your heart, and your eyes. There's always those things out there. And that's why you got to keep yourself. You got to learn when to turn it off. You got to learn when to walk away. You got to learn where to avoid those things. And that is why James reminds us that if we're going to have that, that the proper response to the Word of God is not just obedient living, but it is to have an obvious evidence of the faith that is within you. It's just not good enough just to say, I'm a member of a church. So what? I belong to a certain group. Big deal. But it is here he shows us that a faith that works is a working faith. I'll give you the last concluding point as a statement that I want you to remember. The world is watching to see if we're for real. The world is watching to see if we're for real. Yeah. And you may not know they're watching. There's somebody watching every one of your lives. It's a family member. It's a coworker. It's a neighbor. Mm-hmm. It's somebody. Somebody that's seeking and looking for hope, looking for direction. And when they find out that somehow, some way, you might be religious in some way. You might have a form of religion. You might have some form of spirituality. And they've looked for those things before. But wait a minute. If they see some faithfulness, and they see some obedience, they see a conversation and a concern and a conduct that is genuine, well, that goes a long way in being able to say, let me tell you what Jesus can do for you in your life. So that's what we should ask God. God, help me. Help me, I know I'm not perfect. I'm going to make my mistakes. And that doesn't give us a license to revel in that. That causes us to understand there's a lost, dying world that needs the Lord tonight. And they've heard all the stuff. They've seen all the other things. But how about we just give them genuine, obvious evidence of people who love Jesus and who serve him and want to make a difference? That's what James wants us to understand. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you tonight that you've given us, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, that we can take and make a difference in this world, not because of anything that we've done, but everything you've done. Lord, help us be a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us in our conduct and our concern. Help us in our conversation to be one that bring honor and glory to you so that we can reach others with the gospel, meet the needs of our community, share the hope of Jesus Christ. And this I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. If you'll take your prayer list tonight, as you came in.